Hello and welcome back to the BTL with Reb T, the Better Through Letter, the show where in the special summer mini-series we talk how to make ourselves better through using the Ramban's letter. So we're in the middle of going through the different lessons. We talked the introduction, we talked the letter, and we went through a couple of lessons. Now we're up to lesson number 9, looking at the phrase V'lefnei mi'ata asid li'tein din v'cheshbon l'fnei melech ha'kavod. It is this sense of humility which reminds you of the one before whom you will be called for judgment, the King of Glory. Again, we're using this wonderful sefer called Igeres HaRamban, a letter for the ages, with the anthology of wonderful rabbinic expositions as explained and brought to us by Rabbi Avram Chaim Feuer. A lot of times we'll go through a lot of the points of his different lessons. Sometimes we'll skip some things, sometimes we'll jumble, and sometimes we'll go ahead and bring things together or split it in half. But by and large, we're going to try to go through each time a different chapter, a different lesson, focusing on the wonderful things that Rabbi Feuer brings to us through going through the ethical letter of the Ramban. So this statement reminds us of the words of Akavya ben Mahala from Pirkei Avos, one of my favorite Sfarim of all time. Of course, we usually have the PAL during the year before we go on our summer hiatus. Bli Neder, Bli Anhara. We just finished season 3. We're going to bring back season 4, God willing, with a new commentary in early September. But Pirkei Avos is fantastic. And in that Mishnah, their deterrence to sin with the advice, remember before whom you are destined to be summoned for judgment and accounting. Before the King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed is He. Why does the Tana repeat himself using two terms as din and cheshbon, judgment and accounting? Judgment is for a sinful act which was actually committed, while accounting is a reckoning that is made of positive deeds which could have been accomplished with the energy used to sin. Instead of running, using which we say in Yom Kippur when we say the Vidu and we say the Al-Chetz, I forget the exact word, but the legs that we use to run to sin reminds us of that. The energy used to go to do sin could have been used for much more positive, much more constructive things. One will be called to task not only for the sin itself, but the misuse, the tragic misuse of the precious time and energy. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once chastised a man in this way who physically attacked his neighbor. The rabbi first informed him of one sin. First, you struck and harmed a fellow human being. Second, the energy you spent to accomplish this could have been used constructively. This waste is a grave offense as well. Rav Chaim of Lajan talks about Shabbos 125, which we're going to, God willing, get to in a couple of weeks here on Daf Yomi Land, which we talk about on the Audio DDD, a different show, which presents a parable of a king who lent his garb to two groups of men. One carelessly returned the clothing, battered, tarnished, soiled, gross. The wise men gave everything back in better condition than they received it. The royal robes were laundered and sparkling white and polished to a wonderful shine. The Talmud concludes, Hashem, too, lends every human a fragment of his glory, a celestial soul. Fools sullied their souls with the blemish of transgression, while the wise polish them with mitzvos. The tzaddikim take the neshama Hashem gave us and give it back in better condition, kiviyachal, in some way than Hashem gave it to us to begin with. But the fools, the sinners, give back the souls that are black and tarnished, those precious souls that Hashem gave us. On the day of reckoning, transgressors will be summoned to judgment for tarnishing the divine soul, will be subjected to an accounting for failing to enhance them. The Beis Halevi in Parshas Noach also shows a twofold effect in sins. When wrongdoing defiles a person and also gives an influence on others who are led to follow his example of the transgressor, especially if a person is in a position of prestige. If he acts really well, it's a shining example. But if he corrupts his position, how many people will be led astray by his influence? Think about the idea of Korach. We talked about in the past, Korach, oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheno, tov l'rasha, tov l'tzadik, excuse me, tov l'shcheno. Korach was next to Reuven. Reuven learned from the example and were brought down with Korach. They had nothing to do with his rebellion. They just were swept up in his fervor, his wrongful charisma, so to speak, and we were led astray by his influence. The effect of one's wrongdoing is not limited to present. It also can affect the future. His children and grandchildren learn also. It's a wide-ranging influence of sin brought to judgment in the day of final accounting, because all these people that will be led astray. Monsieur Shasham vividly illustrates the idea of Akavi bin Mahalo to remember the day of judgment. One should paint a sharp mental picture of what he will experience after death when he's presented to the heavenly court for judgment in view of the celestial legions. The defendant will stand in front of the King of all kings, the ultimate source of sanctity and purity. Hashem is surrounded by ministering angels who carry out his wishes with absolute perfection. The defendant stands exposed to their intense scrutiny, painfully aware of the worst of his actions. Overwhelmed, will the defendant be able to raise his head? Will he dare open his mouth if the court shall ask, "Have you lost your tongue? Where's the honor and glory that you have prided yourself in your lifetime?" What shall he answer? How can anyone respond to this kind of rebuke? If one would for even a moment of second of time form a true forceful impression of this idea, his pride would take flight from him, never to return. If we think about the idea, after 120 years, we're asked the common core questions, lahavdil, of what our life was. Did we involve ourselves in having children? Did we do our business affairs in a proper way? Did we set aside time for Torah? Did we wait for the Yeshua, for Mashiach? And a couple other questions I can't remember offhand that some sages say will be asked. But then we're shown a video of our life, of what we could have been. We're asked, were you the best Natsan Mordechai you could have been? That's my Hebrew name. Did you live up to what you could have been? Or were you like Joe Shmo, Shmero Beryl? They're going to ask, how come you weren't more like Natsan Mordechai? How come you didn't do more than you could have? Had I not done all these shiurim, which Hashem sparked me to do, all these different audio shiurs, I could have been held accountable. Look how much Torah you could have learned. Look how much Torah you could have learned with other people. These different shows, why didn't you do it? Thank God Hashem put me in the direction to do it. But if you're supposed to write a book, you're supposed to deliver a series of shiurim, you're supposed to go on to invent something, you're supposed to share things, make shidduchim, build houses, or do anything like that, if you're not doing that, you're going to be held accountable. Why didn't you do it? You were supposed to do it during your lifetime. Look at this video of what you could have been. Look at this video of what you actually were. That's real Gehenim. You're looking at a video of the replay of your life. Hopefully it won't show the private things like using the bathroom and the like, but hopefully it'll be for us a source of pride instead of a source of admonishment and a source of embarrassment, standing up there after 120 years. The Talmud and Tannis describes how evidence will be presented to the heavenly tribunal for the final judgment. One who thinks I could sit in the privacy of my home, who will testify against me, they will be mistaken. The stone walls and the wooden beams will cry out and condemn his hidden sins. A person's own soul will bear the witness of his wrongdoings. After laid to eternal rest, the deeds he performed throughout his lifetime will precede him on his last journey. That's why we say, Kana Shem Tov Kana La'atzmo. You get a good name for yourself. That's what you take for yourself. That's what comes with you to the next world. None of the other stuff really matter. The mitzvos, the chesed, what you do in this world, the great amount of tzedakah you do, that comes for you. Every mitzvah is a defending angel for you. All the sins are your prosecuting angels against you. But more sins, more defenders. Those will come with you, and those will stand up with you. When the court issues its verdict, the one who is overwhelmed with sin has no choice but to attach a signature to a written confession, humbly accepting the sentence explaining that the verdict is indeed true and just. The way to get around that is to have the proper humility. It's to have the proper outlook on life, utilizing every day, taking advantage of every day, making sure your days are full of Torah, full of chesed. Every single good thing you do comes with you as your defender. Who doesn't want to have thousands of defenders and only hundreds of accusers? The more defenders you have can knock out all of the accusers. The defenders knock out the accusers. So you take them with you wherever you go. You make sure to be present, be in the moment, do good things, and make sure to stand up and make a difference in the world so you won't be held accountable of why you couldn't be more like yourself, why you couldn't have done more. If you were supposed to be the greatest X, Y, and Z, the greatest author, the greatest lecturer, the greatest songwriter, the greatest singer, why didn't you do so? Why didn't you take your talents and use them? That's why I always talk about the idea of utilizing your talents, your abilities, and your innate characteristics. Look at your name, look at its essence, look at the verses reflecting your name. That guides you to what you're supposed to do in life. What you love most, if you didn't have to worry about money or time, that's probably what you're supposed to do. Audio shoes, audio lectures, radio, that's all things I love to do, and that's how I was directed to use it. You have to find what you're supposed to do, because we don't want them to hold us up after 120 years asking us why we didn't do what we were supposed to do. We have all of those mitzvos with us. We have all of those defending angels, those defending good deeds and use of our time, and we can stand up to Hashem and say, yes, I lived up to be the best of my potential, the most possible. I did whatever I could, trying to utilize and capture the essence of my mission in this world. Hopefully, I leave the world a much better place than I came to, because we're supposed to be involved in Tikkun Olam. We're supposed to be involved in making the world a better place. If the world is not a better place after you leave it, after 120 years, you missed your mark. You missed what you could have done. Let's hope that all of us use our potential and our abilities to make the world much better during our 120 years on this earth. And after we leave it, the world is a much more pristine, much more beautiful place than when we entered it. Join us next time as we talk Lesson 10 here on the BTL with Reb T. And I'm your host, Reb T.